Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune into Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
The homeless is still homeless, the poor is still poor, yet we find billions of dollars to fund senseless war. And yes, we're fighting terrorism, what about the quiet racism, dividing among ourselves? Somebody's crying for help, heaven is listening. Heaven is watching. Heaven knows.
Wow, wow, wow. Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing tonight? I'm excited to have you here. Excited for you to be here. Welcome to the Ombudsman Press Show. Tonight is going to be one of those nights where we discuss some things that are affecting our society. More importantly, that's affecting men. We always seem to talk about what's going on with women and what's going on with our society. Well, let's discuss why some of these things are happening. So, I am excited to be here tonight to shed some light on some of these things. One of the things that we're going to discuss is how CPS destroys families, Child Protective Services, how they destroy families, and how they target men, and how some of the feminists who happen to be not just pro-women, but anti-men, some even say that it's a lesbian movement, and how they go in, lie, use their positions within this government agency to strip families of their children and put them in unsafe facilities, foster care, where they are abused, raped, and thrown out on the streets as homeless adults at 18. Yes, we're going to identify all of these things. We're going to discuss it for the next 2 hours on the Ombudsman Press Show. I have a father on the line who has been fighting for his child. He has been dealing with this for a couple years now. He has exposed something that goes beyond just CPS abuse, but also fraud, kidnapping, welfare fraud, using fake and making fake government documents, birth certificates, defrauding. Well, wow, there's a list of things here. So I'm going to have him to unmute and come on. He does not have to say his name because this is a open case. But welcome to the show, Kay. I'm going to call him Kay. Kay, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
Hello there.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on and how you came to expose some of the things that is going on with your personal, your daughter.
Oh, with my dilemma? Whew, it's a grand situation. It has its origins up in Washington State. North I-5 from Cali. This is when I moved back to Washington. I was living out there. had a relation with a lady, Samoan lady, from the Samoan community up there in Seattle. And, you know, things happen as they do with a relationship. So we, I found out that she was doing some things, so I ended the situation. But lo and behold, I didn't know that she was with child. And later on, I found out that she, in fact, was pregnant, but I tried through so many attempts to try to see where she was, last place of residence, family members, friends, even the church members. And everybody was telling me that she moved back to Samoa or she moved down to California. I was getting just too many ridiculous, outlandish stories. So in earnest, I got back off the fishing boat up in Alaska, which is one of my primary forms of employment, and then I moved to California. So when I moved back to California, like 2007-ish, had a friend of mine that was actually one of her relatives that she got done very wrong from, the baby's mother. She told me, in fact, that I did have a daughter, she said that they were pictures of her. So I went on, back then it was MySpace, was the social network to go on. And I checked and I looked at the child and I saw me. And she said, yeah, they try to hide this in from you, but you know, they're doing a lot. And I asked her, what are they doing? She said, it's the thing about fraud with the kids. I really can't speak too much because there's only so much that I know. And then I told her, well, I know about the old school Samoan trick to where they'll come over here and then they'll take on a family name, if not for a chief matai or in a high ali'i position, what they do is that they'll have to change their first and last name to attain the chief title. And they're also with that, they have to get a change of social security number. Come to find out that my father was in the service, one of his soldiers did the same thing, but he had like at least 6 identities. Come to find out that he wasn't even from American Samoa. He was from Western Samoa, which is an independent nation. So he got kicked out of the service and sent back. But back to the story, this is one of the many factions of how they proliferate in their fraud. Multiple identities.
Okay, so let's focus on explaining what they're doing with the kids how they're using one child for multiple identities for the purpose of defrauding the welfare system, but also these dads. And talk about a little bit after we do that. We're going to go a little bit into your particular story. Go ahead.
Okay, absolutely. How they're doing is pretty much if you want to proliferate in what they're doing, what they do, they cover all areas of access to where they can get in and assimilate a person there, which is the hospitals. Everybody knows that all records that leave the hospitals through administration go through the vital records, the vital statistics to become said birth certificates. If you can get an individual at that particular position, that is the nucleus to where everything begins, at the hospitals. Then you have connections through multiple areas to which they have a lot of Samoans and people that are getting paid through Department of Health. So seemingly what they're doing is a form of multi-level racketeering in which RICO statutes can be applied. On this point, you cover the various areas inside of the social services construct to where pretty much you can get in there and become like a parasitic organism to where you get fat off of what you can reap off the multiple identities. Now, with the multiple identities, what they'll do is they'll have kids there already in the system. They'll get somebody at the they'll have a child come in with the same name twice. So what they'll do is they'll do the switcheroo from the hospital. Then they'll take it over to the Department of Health, and they'll switch over records. When I went to go get the said birth certificate, I know it's my child. When the lady printed up the back behind the counter, this is a Free Information Act state, to where if you know somebody's the parent's first and last name and their birth date, you can get anybody's birth certificate in that state that was born in that state. So I did. I got the information. When she printed up the birth certificates, multiples came out. And the lady was scratching her head. And she said, sir, who was the father? And I gave said name. And then she pulled it out from the stack. And as she was going through these multiples, you know, she had to sift through the multiples coming up on this child for parentage just to pull out the one that I counted about nine. So she gave me that, and she was scratching her head, you know, just looking at the paperwork from the one that I got and the other ones that she had sifted up on her desk. So with that one, I got that. I took it a step further. I had an attorney working on a sliding scale, and come to find out that the kid, they have multiple identities on the kid. He was talking with somebody inside of social services to where when I wrote a letter to the, was it the senator? Then I wrote one to the governor in the state of Washington. And basically I got a return letter back telling me, reverting me back to the area to which I already started, to which I got spun around, which is social services. So they basically told me it would be going, what would the wording be on this particular situation? Going outside of their bounds of their duties to remedy the situation. So they reverted me back to social services. And I called them back again. And there was a guy on the, which I was referred to. I told him about the situation, and he said, there is no way in God's green earth that nobody's doing this. And then I told him, well, they are. And he said, well, what's the ethnic background of these people? And, you know, he was forthright. He was like, I was just telling me that I was wrong and everything else. I told him, oh, they're South Pacific Islanders, Samoan. Oh, his tone went from 100 down the way to zero. And he said, oh, yeah, we've been having serious issues with these Samoans in our construct. I said, so now you know where I'm coming from.
So because there are not a lot of people that are of Samoan descent, they have been able to slide through the cracks with this
indeed
form of fraud. Now, the church, you have in this papers that the church is also, the Samoan church is also a part of this conspiracy.
Yes, by fact in which they are the intercessors between social services and the community dealing with any situation that is transpiring in their community. So they stepped on a community bipartisan to which they can kind of get things done on the low end to where
so
it's a kept situation. So,
and they have a chief like they have in Samoa that runs the pretty much run the community.
Well,
their communities are exclusive. In certain areas in California, Seattle, and other areas where they have migrated to, they basically live in communal type living arrangements where
primarily they're all on welfare assistance. Pretty much. Most of them. Not all.
Okay. So let's go into what was done and how this woman, how she's used your child against, try to keep you from being with your child. Go ahead and explain your story.
Okay. Back to the latter. My daughter has multiple identities. One of the men that I know that's paying child support for my daughter has never met this child before, but in fact, he's still been paying child support. My daughter, in fact, she's 13, but on the birth certificate is stating that she's 10. He's been paying child support. It's coming up on 11 years. With the better half of 11 years, he's been paying child support. Never met the child, but, and this is the flip situation on the end. The mother isn't listed as the birth mother. The sister is. So for every one of this woman, I didn't even know she had multiple children, and this has been an ongoing thing in the Samoan community. And they have cell units of females that are actually breeders to which they're proliferating in this multiple fraud-level thing that they're doing. In this particular unit that they have, it's about like 16 or 17 Samoan women that are basically spewing out kids for the sole benefit of defrauding the government of tax dollars. And this is what it's all about. When you are a national, you can metastasize your numbers to where you can get greater gain once your numbers increase. If you've already, like Samoa is it's a territory of the United States, so where we got treaties.
So one child can have multiple birth certificates.
Multiple. What they're doing. Yes. I mean to cut you off, but go Go ahead.
No, I want our listeners, because they don't know anything about this, I want them to be able to follow. So they'll have multiple birth certificates for one child. They'll be collecting welfare from all of those different birth certificates. And they'll have also multiple mothers, and they will be collecting child support from multiple men who aren't the dad of the child.
You said it in a nutshell. Absolutely. Once they do this, it's either the sisters that are listed as the birth mothers, they want to keep it tight-knit, or one of the people, one of the relatives, or somebody that married to the family to be acting as the birth mother to render her identity as the mother.
Now, CPS and the family court has denied many of these men to have blood tests. Explain to me why.
As far as denial, they switched up the situation. It used to be you can just go to one of the departments of social services, which is CPS, child support, and get it done. Now, in Washington, everything's been converted to the head of the head DA. You had to go through his offices to get everything set up for paternity. And they kept bouncing me around. When I wanted to try to set something up, they said that, we'll get back to you at a later date. I was just giving the spin around every given advent.
So even here in the state of California, and many of my listeners know because I helped Kamala Harris to become the attorney general, and one of the things that I've asked is that we have an overview and a revamp of the system where men are paying child support. I said you have, you know, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of black men who've lost their driver's license, their occupational license for children that are not even theirs. And the judges have refused to allow them to have blood tests. And they said, well, the mere fact that you were there, you've lived in the same home as this person, you accepted in public or on school records that this is your child, you're going to pay until this kid is 21. Yes, I said 21, because in some cases judges give the fathers, or at least the on the record father, dad, 4 years after they are 18, in order that they can get their college.
Indeed, for the college. Before. Indeed, that's correct.
You know,
absolutely.
So I want our listeners to understand that in a liberal state like California, in many cases, these DAs, even if they're Democrat, they could care less about the rights of the dads and those whom are refuting the fact that they are dads. Now, when this story first came to me, I told Kay, I said, Kay, man, this is crazy. But I looked into it. I says, I mean, this is one of the most well-kept story in California news. When you contact Seattle, it's even more. No one is going to return phone calls. Nobody's going to talk. I think that they're embarrassed that the fact that this has been going on for so long, how could it happen? I told Kay, I said, Kay, please explain to me how you could have a child and another man is paying child support. Explain that, okay?
Oh, well, this is how it goes. Pretty much from what I've been told, I do have some Samoans in the family. The ones that I do, they don't go for the BS. And I was raised around a lot of my Samoan relatives. So I'm very privy to how culturally the Samoan people are. If I was just an average Joe and didn't know nothing about the Samoan community, I would be destitute and lost as far as information into the inner workings of the Samoan tradition, the Fa'a Samoa, Mo Samoa way. How they do it, you have to implement and get people inside of these multiple areas. From what I've been told, anybody that they want to be the father, they got people on the inside that's going to make it happen. Case closed. That's how it happens. So as far as the oversight, hate to say it, then again, I love to say it. There are city officials that are getting payoffs. This is about the taxpayers' money, and as long as they keep getting money, they're not going to say nothing. Or you'll just like you're not getting no reply back. That's what's happening, you know. oversight, and it's going to be foreshadowed by non-reply. So this has been going and going. I've been fighting this thing since I got enveloped. That was my daughter that I was looking at in a picture back in 2007 when I first opened up. That was while I was in California. Now, when I got back to Washington, I got the mother, well, Fed actually claiming to be the mother. I got her kicked off welfare assistance. Now, they validated me coming with the report or a report full on with names of the one or two of the fathers that have been paying child support, that I have actually statements that have been validated here by the attorney. Signed in and everything, going from right there, and nothing came to remedy about it. It's weird as it sounds, or as far-fetched as it sounds, it's getting done. And put it like this, I've gotten so close, but the fact that I got them kicked off welfare assistance with the letter that I wrote to the senator, the governor, and I believe the mayor, it went that far to where I got them kicked off welfare assistance. But how come they didn't go to the next step to set up the DNA? Think about that. They validated me on one part, but they didn't want to finish the situation out to see it through. They did just enough to have everything kind of like on a short end. We'll get back to you and let it just meander out. From what I think,
how many years did this man who's paying child support for your daughter, how many years did he pay?
Well, he's still paying right now. Actually, this is what transpired. I found him through my I have a hand at finding out and getting the people that I need to get to. I got his identity, and I approached him. And he said it was funny because where he told me he went to go do a DNA test, there's not a clinic there, nor has ever been, in downtown Tacoma. But I met him. We went to the hospital in which the child was born. So I had the birth certificate, and I had pictures with timestamp dates on Facebook proving the age of said child. Now, on the record, the child was really born in 2005. Birth certificate, it says that the child was born in 2008. He's under the impression that the child was born in 2008 and that it's his by the sister whom said that she had this child. Now, we go to the hospital. They pull up the records. And, well, you know, he's saying that, there's no way. And then the lady back behind the counter, I think she was Asian or Filipino, so was the other guy. And she said, okay, well, let me try this one thing. Now, I know how programs work because when I was in junior high, I wrote computer programs. If you do a change to the program, it's always going to remain in there. It might show up as an AB substituent to where it's on the back end, but when you pull up the file, everything that was changed on that file is going to come up. She pulled it up. And then I kind of caught a corner glimpse, and then she was like, how is this possible? You know, from what he's saying that, and then when he came up over there, he looked, and then when he looked up at me, his head shot down to the ground. I said, yeah. I said, whatever you saw in that picture, or what you brought up on the screen of your computer, validates the reason why me and Mr. said blah, 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 won't say his name, are here today. So by that time, I saw a lady in the office while we were talking, and come to find out that her husband is Samoan. So she's working in administration. So she kind of closed the door, and next thing we know, security come up there to the office. And then they just go to the back. So I already knew what time it was. So after that, I showed a picture. I said, how can we go from this child being born in 2008 to where I have a picture from timestamp from Facebook and MySpace? It was timestamped about like 2007. So we got a picture of a child with a timestamp dated situation to where we can see clearly what date, you know, what date that was listed in the timeline on social service network. Preempted right in your face. I said, so how do we go from this date to this child saying that she was born in 2008? That's irrelevant. And then I looked back to the guy that's been paying child support, and he said, so what's really going on? By that time, we leave. So no sooner than an hour after I left, I got a call from detective, I'm going to say his name, Randy Christensen of the Seattle Police Department. So he told me that they wanted me to come down, and I said, well, what is this for, sir? He said, this is about child abduction threats. I laughed. I said, so let me guess. This must be the Ami Tuanai sisters. And he said, well, yes. How did you know? I said, I got a situation to where I was just at the hospital about some records, and I got an ongoing court case to where I have an attorney. He said, sir, I would like to get your first, last name, and your date of birth, and your Social Security. I said, sir, at this particular time, I cannot divulge that information. I would first have to confer with my attorney. You know, and it felt so good to say that. So I told him a second time after, you know, he came at me again when I tried to explain the situation. I said, sir, I said, yeah, my word as a man that either I or my attorney will get back to you before the end of the day. And then he told me, sir, Mr. Byron, this is a serious crime. So if you don't get back, we'll have a warrant for your arrest. Well, my attorney came or whatever. He was on the phone freeway from what I heard with the an assistant DA that was trying to help him on the case with some pointers or whatever. That situation got quashed. They really tried to take me out of the mix. Point given. They tried to get me out of the situation. I'm kicking up too much dust and basically making relevant points, the keys you need to be unlocked to really expose them.
So let me ask you this question. When you talk about this is enormous, how many people do you think are involved in this conspiracy to defraud the government?
I was instructed, what I see and what I've instructed has already been validated. Multiple people. Pretty much, this is how the money comes into the Samoan community, hands down. This is how they get to drive big SUVs, and they might have at least people living in a 2 or 3 bedroom house, but only 2 people are working, and everybody's driving big SUVs. this is how they're doing it. Let me see. I can honestly say, court officials, city officials, it's big. The rabbit hole goes deep. I will say this, and there are some officials of high standard, even some judges, that have looked the other way, knowing the situation that was at hand, but still went with what they were told by certain city officials that have, really size stature of being who they are by their position. The rabbit hole goes deep.
So are you paying child support?
No, I'm not, and that's the thing about it. If you
you're trying to have visitation and to have your parental rights
to be, right, as a father. Okay. Exactly. Actually, I'm in full sole custody. There have been reports about the child being molested by the uncle and other family members, along with her other siblings. To where, when I ran it through the Samoan community, some idiotic Samoan told me you weren't supposed to find out about that, that I can get in trouble for finding that out. I'm like, really? You people aren't really that bright, are you? But yes, the mother's uncle was molesting the kids. And at that time, which the kids were taken out of the household and placed in another care of what they call a feseau, which is a Samoan pastor. A group of them took custody of the kids while they were getting the situation structured out for about 3.5 months. At that particular time, it didn't go into a report. I've heard that the children were being touched at those particular households with those other Samoans.
How long have you been fighting to get your parental rights?
Since 2007, off and on, when I can. But, you know, my main line of work was working on the fishing boats. I actually took time off of the fishing boats to circumvent and get information that the average Joe couldn't get out of the Samoan community. They have a very tight-knit community, and they have a small village mentality.
Right.
Yeah.
So how many years have you been working on this particular situation to get your daughter?
2007 up to present, to
okay.
Which, you know, I know that the remedy is not going to come through the system. I pretty much have to walk the fence borderline to get what I need and then hit
okay.
certain people.
So do you think that the CPS and the family court is in need to be – no, listen. Do you believe that – this is a true statement – that CPS and the family court is in need of reform?
Absolutely.
do you think that CPS is doing more damage in these type of cases than they are doing the children's justice, the kids?
They're doing the children harm, and they're doing the children and the other parents are trying to get the children injustice.
Now, they say that these kids are supposed to have their own attorney. When you bring this to court, was your daughter provided an attorney?
No, actually, as far as bringing it to court, it never got to that that particular part, because I have a very unique situation to where only 2 out of 3 writs can be written up for me to get inside of court. And if it doesn't go through, then I've lost all chances. So I kind of abstained from actually filing in court. I'm not listed as the father on the birth certificate. Now, I can go through to try to petition for paternity, but I was blocked. Nobody got back to me. Well, yeah, so they're basically spinning me around. This is what they've, what I've been told by one of the Fallon Simone members, is that, Simone, this is what I've been told, and this was a meeting that went on. I can't say who, but I will say this. They said they hope Mr. Myers goes away and gives up hope. There's too much at stake to lose here, and too many families that will lose fathers and mothers that work inside of the system that will get prison time. There's too much at stake to lose just to let one father get their child. Because that's going to break up and expose everything that they've been doing since the late 80s. Yeah.
Wow.
Indeed.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So, do you think that anytime soon that something could change in this situation?
God willing. I mean, at this particular point, I know through the system, I will not, in the state of Washington, I will not get no remedy. But now that I have moved back to California, I have greater leverage that I'm dealing from another slight jurisdiction and going back into the court system.
Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think that the system is slanted against fathers and men?
Absolutely, especially Washington State, which is pro-mother. Indeed.
Well, so is California. California is very
anti,
you know, just, but, you know, I want people to know there's a lot of great dads out there like yourself that's
indeed
trying to get visitation and custody and your rights. You know, these kids are being, now, Los Angeles, and people can go to Google and put it in, the CPA, CPS in Los Angeles County, they have been fined. They have put kids in very dangerous situations. Kids have committed suicide. Kids have been molested, raped, you know, put on the street to prostitute. One foster mother had all girls in several houses, and she had basically, she was pimping them out and threatening to kill their families if they would, if they said anything to social workers. These are the things that the, you know, so I'm looking at how the courts addressed the Los Angeles CPS and said, yes, there were some improprieties, but by this being the county, they don't want to open it up for just a bunch of lawsuits. But I'm saying to myself, you take kids out of homes and then put them in danger. You take children out of good
yes
homes and put them in prostitution rings. Something is wrong. And then you have dads that are out there trying to pay child support, and they're also paying fines and penalties, which means that they'll never, ever get this paid. I mean, it's like a payday loan. You got it, you will never get out of it.
Never get out of it, exactly.
And most of these dads that are fighting for their children, they're at the mercy of the court because they will take your parental rights forever. Our second guest can't come on because he's been advised by his attorney, you don't want the court to find out that you're doing this because they may just take your parental rights away forever. And this is what we're continuing to you know, encounter and trying to expose this. So I told the guests, I said, no, don't go on. I understand. Who wants to have the court saying, I put a gag order, and you've talked about this, so therefore I'm going to rule against you and put your daughter in harm's way and give this drug addict mother, sexually abusing boyfriend, your child forever. Crazy. And the power that these, some of these judges, one of the things that, Los Angeles County did was they had a pre-signed judge order taking kids out of homes without the judge's signature. It's just a stamp. And this situation where the kid ended up dead, the judge never signed it. CPS stamped it. That's too much power for a CPS worker to have. And, yes, they're going to try to fix it. But this system needs to be revamped. We have seen how CPS went into the homes in the 60s. They threw the dads out of the homes, put single mothers in charge of families, then turned around and told them, get on welfare. And then when the Clintons got in, you get off of welfare, and we're going to take these kids. And crazy, crazy, crazy. Mm. We're going to go to a commercial break, and I'll be right back.
Absolutely.
So we're going to go in with Coach Ward. Hey, Coach Ward, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
Good. Welcome to the show. I know you have to go. You don't have a lot of time. I just want to thank you for all the families that you feed and the fact that you're not only a dad and a granddad, but you're the community's dad, and you're feeding families that can't feed themselves. And I just want to thank you for the work that you do.
I appreciate it.
No, Coach, right now I'm getting on CPS for how they take these kids out of their homes and put them in foster care where they're abused, and how many dads are trying to get custody of their children and visitation rights, but yet they're forced to pay child support. They take their occupational license, they take their driver's license. How many, when you were coaching, how many of those students, those players came from broken homes where their dad, there was no dad in the home?
Well, about 95% of them, or 96% of the student athletes that I've coached at Compton College and LA Southwest College, and also in the city of Los Angeles and Compton, kind of, it's a fear situation when you have a lot of these student athletes who are fatherless or homeless, have to, you know, have a child, a small child. And really tough to, you know, take care of that child. But when something like that even occurs, now it even becomes worse because, you know, the option for them to have something to be able to take care of the child, well, they didn't take it from them. So that's real tough.
And you take these kids in not only to your own home, but you help inside the homes where they are, whether they're dysfunctional and, you know, and ill repair. Can you tell us a little bit about how, I mean, because you always talk about your babies and how many babies you have. How many babies do you have now? You call them babies. Some of these are grown men playing in the NFL and the NBA. So how many babies do you have?
Well, I've had an opportunity to coach and help over 8,000 student athletes, get what they call their middle class citizenship, when, you know, you get your AA degree, get your BA degree, some even have masters, and a few even have PhDs now. And but again, even with having all that, sometimes you still have to fight the struggle of not having food. And so that's why you always hear me saying, hey, Coach, hey, Bishop, we just got, you know, 80 pallets of juice the other day, and we need some help in regards to having a space or a location to place it. Well, that we got meals for 100,000 folks, and we just need somewhere to put it where it can be safe so we can still continue to give it out to those who are in
need. Right. Well, we're going to be working on that with the city. But I want to say this. You know, Coach, you do so much in the community, and you've been doing it for a number of years. And you've seen a lot of young people. You've saved a lot of lives. You also have a gang intervention that you work with young people. Tell us a little bit about that. And tell me a little bit about that, and I have a follow-up question.
Okay. Well, one is I work with Chapter 2. It's one of the largest gang intervention programs in the country. We deal with the hardcore gang intervention. We do situations where we go and mediate for tough situations. We talk to the bigger homies who know that there's a possibility that a young fella want to get out of it, and how we handle that situation. And then we talk to them in regards to those who need that special pass, so they don't never go into the gang. And so, you know, we do a lot of that, and that's daily. That's, as they say, 24/7. That's around the clock. But just want to bring to mind that, you know, a lot of times when you don't have great mentors like yourself, it does put a handicap on us. I think that all guys need people like you, Bishop, who speak life into a dying circumstances. When you speak life, this is a part of the process. It's a part of the seed that is planted. And then we have a chance to survive. I mean, because it ain't easy out here at no time. It's really tough.
You know, Coach, I have been trying to figure out how I'm going to deliver my State of the Black Family speech. We're putting together, because I think that we're in a situation where many people are so concerned about their own home, their own household situations, that they don't realize that, you know, before you can start talking about another president, before we can talk about, you know, what's going on in this country, we have our governor who are talking about saving illegal immigrants and preventing the president from putting a border wall. But yet we have never thought about the hundreds of thousands of homeless African-American veterans, the residual from the 1980 crack war, all of these issues that we have, where the war on drugs, the war on gangs, the war on deadbeat dads, the war on all these wars that they fought against the black people have casualties, and the black family is the casualty. I can't understand how this is not an issue for anyone in any election or at any time. So my remedy is to have a State of the Black Family dissertation, to have individuals like yourself there on a panel at this symposium to discuss remedies for us, because I can't continue to see black men with hundreds of thousands of dollars that they owe the state for child support, fines, and interest, occupational license, or driver's license. I can't understand how you give amnesty for an illegal immigrant who may be a child molester, a murderer, a part of some type of drug organization, but you can't give this felon a right to work at any job that he may have skills in. We have to get to a point where we start taking care of our own, and we can't continue to look for buildings for you to store food to give to the homeless and to give to those needy families, when we have buildings that's being given away to individuals who are not even citizens. So, yes, I'm going to address that on Monday, sir, so that you can have – we need to start taking care of those people that are American citizens, that are the descendants, the direct descendants of the chattel slaves. You know, how the hell are you gonna give a dream to a dreamer, but you haven't even kept your promise to the damn people that built this country, that illegally were forced to work. And now I can go downtown right now and see a whole 100,000 number of black homeless people, yet billions of dollars been given to fight the homeless epidemic. How the hell does that make sense? You know, and yes, there are people like you and I that get out here and make a difference, but hell, how the hell do we have elected officials who are getting paid to resolve these issues, but yet they're not doing it? Wow. You took it upon yourself to go get those pallets. You took it upon yourself to go rent those trucks. You took it upon yourself to give it to the people in the community. And some of these people are working from paycheck. So we're going to address those things. Coach, I'll be getting back with you after the show. Yes, we will do what we can to get those pallets in somewhere. And I'll get in contact with the city manager to find out where we can store it and how we can get a distribution for it this week. And I just thank you for being on, man. Is there anything you want to say before you go?
Yes, we do have the answer and the solution to our homeless problem. Again, just like you said, when we can tap into those fundings for it, we can get our people off the street. You know,
that's
they've
right.
Got Survive container prefab homes they can put up in 9 hours and get people off the street. And,
let's
and
do
we
it.
Have space. We have space.
Let's do
we
it.
Just need those people to get behind us and let's move forward on it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's embarrass them. Let's do what we have to do to make them do it. Let's do it.
All right. Appreciate you.
Thank you for the work that you're doing, Coach. We appreciate you. That's Coach Ward, Cordell Ward, y'all. Thank you for having me on the show. Thanks, Ward.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. It's okay. I know I had to get Coach Ward in because he has to get back to, you know, but that's just another thing, man. We have good brothers out here fighting the great fight, doing what we're supposed to do, but we can't do it all. And, you know, it seems that the attention seems to always go to those people who are about me, my, and I. They're not about the community. They're not about what's right. I mean, you know, I take my hat off to those people and say, well, you know, I'm not a racist or I don't do just things for black people. Okay, that's fine. But what do we do with those issues around that surround just black people? Kay, I want to thank you for being on the show. Is there anything I want to let you go?
Great salutations to you for letting me speak my piece about my situation.
Well, we're going to be working on your situation.
Indeed.
We're going to be working on your situation. I'm going to send you a link to this show. You can always use it. If there's anything that we can do to help you, we definitely will. And we will put your story up and get people to get behind you so that you can get the attention that you need so that you can get your daughter home. God bless
Indeed.
You. Thank you for being on
God
the show.
God bless. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's a wonderful opportunity that I'm going to start using even more to bring attention to the corruption that's taking place. Many of you questioned me, inboxed me, and talked to me about when I said the indictments are coming. Yes, the indictments are coming. This is going to be a month, and the next month as well, it's going to be indictments coming. People are going to go to prison, get arrested, be brought to court for those things that they have done. Yes, I heard about R. Kelly prior to the walls of justice, the halls of justice always echo before it comes down. And I just want to let those people know in Compton, there's more indictments coming down in the great city of Compton. You know, corruption is not something that we should just stand by and allow. We should recognize that it's there, and we should do everything in our power to dissolve it, expose it, and get rid of it. Amen. Yep, so there's more to come. I wanted to discuss a little bit about the terrible, terrible situation with the courts allowing people to go pick up ballots and just register people. You have no proof of knowing you know, who this person is. They just say, my name is John Doe. And there has been several individuals, when you go and check the voter register office, first name Dick, last name Tracy, Snoopy, Droopy, you know, Tom and Jerry, that vote because no ID is requested, or you're not permitted to request an ID in the state of California. Now the state of California has moved one step further to say that people can pick up ballots and turn in those ballots for other people. So let's just say like this. If you had a person who decided to go out and register 5,000 illegal immigrants, they could do the registration cards, do them vote absentee only, which means that the ballots will come to the house, then they can go back and pick up the ballots and turn them in. The person, the illegal immigrant or the makeshift person, doesn't have to ever show up. Doesn't have to, as long as somebody has access to that mailbox, they have access to get that ballot and to vote. And I say this gives a clear indication that they don't care if a person conduct voter fraud. Now, in one state, a Republican congressman had to step down, and they have overturned the election based on voter fraud. And I'm saying, okay, why point the fingers over there when you got worse things going on here? There was a reason why, and there was a cause in effect that made the Republicans lose even Orange County, which is historically a Republican stronghold. They did it because they were able to register a bunch of people without any form of ID, and just based on the numbers, they lost. Now, how does that happen? That happens when you open up your damn border and you just let people in, and then you tell them, you know, there was a time when they were afraid because they would go to jail if they did this. But because they have, you have no way of finding out who they are. If you go and vote Dick Tracy or register Dick Tracy, when the police come, where's Dick Tracy? If anybody in the house isn't Dick Tracy, who do you arrest? Nobody. But who has been affected by this most? The black communities. Where do the illegal immigrants live? They live in areas that are low income, minority areas where they can get in low radar. And as Trump said, you know, the people who are doing this, they live behind walls. It's easy to say, oh, let's be inclusive. Well, you live exclusive. You don't have to worry about them moving next door to your $5 million mansion. It's easy to have an open heart as long as you don't live by me. Yeah, we're discussing the real true issues tonight, and I'm hoping that we're able to get Justin in. We have so many things going on. We have other candidates that are running for public office. We are getting them in. They have things to say. We have Inez who's running. We are trying to get all of them in and have them to explain how they feel about it. So what are we going to do? We're going to give Malcolm a shout out. He wanted to know what's going on in the on our show. Okay. And we're going to. Hey, how you doing? We have young Justin Blakely. Welcome to the show, Justin. I wanted to make sure that you were able to Talk a little bit about your situation. First of all, let me introduce Justin and give him the just due that he deserves. Justin is a young man who, poor dad was a 30-year school police with Uncle Leon. Many of you have had the opportunity to listen to Uncle Leon on the show. He was a double Purple Heart veteran in the United States Army, who passed away recently. But Justin went to school. He got a BS degree. He was also one of eight of the black persons who became student body president at this prestigious California school, university, Cal State Dominguez Hills. And the young man at 22 years old decided that he would run for city council. We had him on our show. In the last 2 weeks, Justin had to fight in court to be on the ballot because a corrupt, and I said it, a corrupt city clerk tried to refuse him the right to be on the ballot. And then she, days before she had to turn him in, she turned in the ballots to be printed. Justin won in court and was won the right to be on the ballot, but he had to pay for the reprinting of the ballots because this woman had turned them in early. She also challenged me to have her indicted for corruption by using the city seal, giving it to her sons to make T-shirts, hoodies, cups, hats, and other clothing apparel to be sold out of her office, which was sold from 2008, I believe, until 2 years ago when Cecil Ramo became the city manager. He was a former assistant sheriff, and there was a cease and desist conversation, and then they're now selling the apparel online with the city seal. Justin, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir? Okay, we had Justin, are you there?
Hey, hello?
Okay. Yeah, tell us a little bit about what happened with your court case.
You know, just really quickly, because I got to go, I'm actually out walking the streets trying to talk to residents actually right now. But yeah, it's very simple. Essentially, what the case went was that, you know, I was told that I could not be a qualified candidate. I took it to the court because I believe I was wrongfully disqualified, and the judge ruled in favor of me being disqualified. What went wrong was that I was told that if I wanted to be on the ballot, I had to pay to be on the ballot. And so I had to take out loans from family and friends to really get this to get placed on the ballot, and I did not have a significant time to do that. And so it's an injustice done in that manner. And there was an injustice done from the beginning for me to not even be placed on the ballot, and I was disqualified. And so that's pretty much how the story goes. And, you know, I'm just thankful that the Lord did, you know, rule and who should be rightfully so in terms of the truth being set free. And that's why the judge ruled in my favor. I do think it's very unfortunate that a young man has to, you know, have to, out of his family for money to get this, to get placed on the ballot. But, you know, ever since the day I got placed on the ballot, which was Tuesday, right, and went to city council and talked to city council after that, I made sure that I was hitting the ground running and making sure I was talking to all residents. And any resident that needed to ask about it, I was being very transparent, because that's what the city of Compton, with some of these elected officials, they're not being transparent about what happens and what goes down, which is why Compton is not as progressive as it should be in terms of being the best city in America. And so that's how the story goes. And, you know, if there's any, you know, questions, Bishop, that you want to relay to me, you know, let me know now, because I, you know, run it.
Okay. Go out there, you know, go out there and get those votes. Go get those votes. I just wanted to have you on the show. Let the residents know and let our supporters know, that our listeners, that you're still in the race. And you are a young man who is resilient, and we support you. Good luck, and we'll be talking to you later on in the campaign.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, you're welcome. Uh-huh. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Yeah, I just think that it's amazing how people think it's okay to, you know, eat our young, to just eat them alive. We have to stop this. A young man, 22 years old, you tell her, you say, hey, go to school, get an education, come back, help. Young man, come back, you know, oh, no, your registration is over in another city. Dum-dum, he was registered at the college. He's 22 years old. He just was able and legal to register. We told him to register because of the presidential election, and so therefore he registered inside of the college. He's out of college now. He's back home. This is super stupid. You know, and why I say corrupted is because it's nothing you can say is corruption. That's what it is. Just silly as hell. I just don't get how people will steal the city seal and use it for their kids to make money, and they sell the property out of the city clerk's office, but you will deliberately try to stop somebody else's son from running for city council. Just God, intervene. Psalms 109, help me. Do something about it. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. So I want to address some of the other issues that we have. One of the issues that we have that we've been discussing is this issue where people are coming out of the woodwork saying that they think this young man should go to jail for saying that he was the target of a hate crime. And racial slurs, gay slurs were said, and it is alleged now that he conspired this hoax himself. Now, I want to say this. It's kind of suspicious to me how the resources can find that he is indictable for this hoax, when we have white women all over this country that have black men in prison right now for rape charges, and they've never been raped. We have black men getting out of prison every single year because DNA proved that they did not rape some person who accused they did. Why aren't they put in prison? Why don't you go get them? I just think that justice should be fair and balanced. Yeah, I think the young man, if what in unfolding is true, then yes, there should be a form of ensuring that everybody doesn't do this. But I don't understand throwing the book at this young man and not even filing charges in other cases. You know, justice need to be for everyone, not just certain people. I think that if you can indict R. Kelly on a 10-year-old case, then go get the priests, go get the gym teachers, go get the other individuals, the police officers that rape women in police cars. What happens to that? Why do we guard the information about police misconduct, but we can go back and find old information and make it indictable? I think that we have a problem in this country. And I think it's going to get worse. I don't have all of the facts in this case, but I did say, first off, that it was peculiar to me because I had did investigations in Jasper, Texas, Palestine, Texas, and in the South, in Louisiana, And I find it very difficult to believe that a person would have had a noose tied around their neck, broke free, and then go home with this noose around them. That's just not normal to me. I said that from the beginning. And so, yes, I do think there are some issues. But I also think that the way we deal with the issues, public can, in one case, be very heavy-handed. In other cases, we seem not to find enough facts to indict or convict. So, you know, this is about the third black man that has made national news, and number 45, dumbass Trump, seemed to believe that he should comment on it. But yet all of these individuals who have made racial attacks and did all sorts of things that were very foul and racist, he doesn't seem to be able to have a voice to even condemn it. I just find that kind of interesting. But, you know, I'm not surprised when you have a bigot and a, I would call him trailer trash, but that would be a little bit outlandish when he has these estates. The mentality of this rogue president, when I first started discussing how he kissed Putin's ass, people thought, oh, that's pretty harsh. And I rolled back some of the tapes of what they said about President Barack Obama. I said, harsh? What was that? This country tends to believe that it's okay and acceptable not to call people to the carpet when you see there is blatant racism, discrimination, and one-sided justice. Do you think that is a surprise to anybody that Mueller investigation is about to conclude and the Congress has, or the Senate has confirmed a new director for the Justice Department who may or may not give any information about Mueller's complete investigation? He can give as little or as much as he wants to, but this is a new guy who was chosen by Trump. And you're going to be surprised when he decides not to give anything up, right? You're going to be surprised that he decides to squash everything, right? Yeah, I know, because we are that kind of country. I'm very embarrassed by some of the things taking place. For many of you that have been to our website, www.nationalombudsman.org, and ombudsman is O-M-B-U-D-S-M-A-N, and it's all read together, nationalombudsman.org. Go to our website. Check us out. We are doing the most right there this year. We're going after all of the corruption within the Justice Department. We do believe that our Justice Department is for justice for everyone. We're going to be asking for more conciliation specialists to which we work with to go into communities like Flint, Michigan, Canton, New Jersey, and other places where the disproportionate rate of African Americans going to prison is a direct reflection of the lack of jobs and opportunities for African Americans in those areas. You look on the list of the most dangerous cities of America, and you see a people who are in the midst of an affluent society, but they don't have resources. They don't have work. When I talk about how you have individuals whom are paying child support for children that are not theirs, you know, I had someone to even, oh, that's not true. That's what we had Kay on tonight. I wanted people to be able to hear a man who has direct proof that he is the father of a child, and the child has multiple birth certificates and is receiving the woman is receiving multiple checks from not only the welfare, but also from these men that are not the dad. And they have protested not being the dad. The dad is here trying to get custody of his child and is being refused because they're making so much money from these other resources. I just shake my head. Rihanna, are you there? How are things going on your end?
I'm here. How you doing, Bishop?
I'm doing wonderful. Going to give a shout out to Malcolm. He's listening in, first time listener. I'm really excited about this show, this time right now. What's going on with you, though, Rihanna?
Oh, not much. Just relaxing tonight.
Good.
Finally.
Good. You sound down.
Yeah.
You sound down.
Pardon?
I know it's going to take. You sound down. You don't sound.
Oh,
your
yeah.
Normal up self.
Yeah, it's mentally exhausting, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's going to be a while, sister. Just be strong. It's going to be a while. Just keep being strong. Just keep being strong.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. So, exciting and very interesting show tonight. We've been trying to bring exciting shows, and we've been trying our best to give you information. But we want you to go and tap into that resource, that good Google, and find out other information that's available to you about the stories that we bring to you on Ombudsman International. Rihanna, we're going to go ahead and end the show tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening, and we want you to tune back in on Monday for our Marvelous Monday show with my co-host, Dr. Shirley McKellar. Take us home, Rihanna.
The homeless is still homeless, the poor is still poor, yet we find billions of dollars to fund senseless war. And yes, we're fighting terrorism, what about the quiet racism, dividing among ourselves, somebody's crying for help, heaven is listening. Heaven is watching. Heaven knows. And they may not play this on the radio, cause the devil don't want you to know. If we don't stop the hypocrisy, the nation will lose its soul. Then rather play music about money and sex, like we don't have no intellect. Somebody need to show some respect, cause God ain't through with us yet. Heaven to listen. Heaven is watching. Heaven knows. Stealing. Oh, heaven knows. Heaven knows the ones that are out there killing. Oh, heaven knows. Woo. That the world needs a revival. That we walked away from the Bible. Oh, heaven knows that the world. Somewhere we lost our feeling. Oh, heaven is listening. Heaven is watching. Heaven knows. Oh, hey, oh, heaven is listening.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.